going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Yeah, and look, I think that's also why I don't necessarily see the Niners consolidating their picks to move up. It's because they need bodies at this point. They need young, fast, physical, but also inexpensive bodies. They need more cheap labor on this team, if we're being honest.
Yes,
because
they do.
One of the reasons that they don't have a ton of depth is because they have put all their stock into a couple of big name and at one point in their careers, talent players.
Yeah.
And they've stripped themselves of a lot of those guys this offseason in hopes of replacing them, replenishing those talent pools. But to Sterling's point, you know, when it wasn't just the fact that they didn't have a ton of players that could rotate in, they didn't have players that could step in and fill in when injuries eventually befell the 49ers this year. And a couple of years ago when they made their Super Bowl run, they were very fortunate in terms of the amount of health or lack of injuries that they sustained. This year it was the complete opposite, where you're looking around the field and I'm barely recognizing half of the names on the back of these jerseys. And to the point where, you know, I'll just call him Sam O because I don't want to butcher his last name, felt like your most consistent interior defensive lineman this season. Yeah. And he was on your practice squad. So the Niners also are in need of just depth, because eventually guys are going to get hurt. God forbid it's one of your impact players, but you need talent behind them, if not just to rotate in to play a game or two while a guy has a hamstring or maybe a sprained ankle or perhaps, God forbid, something worse. They did not have enough of that clearly this last season.
Yeah, no doubt. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app, and now broadcasting live from the Laughing Monk Studios. It is draft night here on 95.7 The Game. Evan Giddings, Sterling Bennett, Mark Randy with you here, and we do have the latest pick.
Sterling's killing me, man.
Uh-oh, what happened? What?
He just makes a face every single time a pick comes in.
This pick, 17th overall to the Cincinnati Bengals, defensive end Shamar Stewart out of A&M, another guy that we had seen mocked and the Niners potentially interested in. Shamar Stewart goes to A&M. Every defensive lineman that's getting picked right now is not necessarily like a bad thing for the Niners, but they still have a lot of holes on that side of the ball. You hope that these teams start moving away from defensive line. But by my count right now, guys, this is not specifically the defensive trenches, but out of the first 17 picks, 12 of the 17 have been trench players, whether it's offensive or defensive lines. Jalen Walker, kind of an outside linebacker, but I'm going to consider him an edge rusher and a trench player. 12 of the 17 picks so far are trenches. I know, Evan, you threw out the playbook that the Eagles used to win the Super Bowl. It was trenches on both sides of the ball, and what they did to the Chiefs' offensive line in the Super Bowl was amazing. That feels the way that most of these teams picking so far are going. Just beef up your trenches on both sides of the football and then deal with everything else later.
I also think it's because of a team that you mentioned as well, and that's the Los Angeles Rams. Yeah. It's a group where we're seeing a lot of teams invest in their offense, maybe less to less extent, but their defensive line. Like, you can never have enough edge rushers, interior players, and really talent up front. Because if you can win, and I think this is not just something that's been, you know, recent. You've seen this across, I think, the history of the NFL. If you can win rushing four, you're going to win a lot of football games, because if you control the line of scrimmage without having to bring that extra blitzer, it's not rocket science. You're going to be at an advantage. And so a lot of teams are just simply trying to, in a draft where perhaps there's less top-tier offensive talent, particularly at the quarterback position, there hasn't been even, you know, for example, a Marvin Harrison that's been available outside of, you know, Travis Hunter, but he's very unique in many ways.
No doubt.
There isn't as many of those outside of maybe Ashton Jeanty, you know, a type of profiled offensive guy that's going to change your franchise. You put your offense on his back. So I think when in doubt, just take someone in the trenches and figure it out from there.
Yeah. Sterling, Shamar Stewart, good pick, bad pick? What do you think?
Well, for the Bengals in particular, they have to know what they're going to do with Trey Hendrickson. So get the edge rusher. Does that give you some trade maneuverability later in day one? Again, maybe the Commanders make a call at pick 29. You never know what can happen with Trey Hendrickson. So it makes sense to, yes, one, get a good player, but also get a player that does give you some protection if you do want to move off of your star edge rusher. That said, Shamar Stewart was one of those players that at least fans were saying, get into San Francisco, and was also one of the players I was saying, please don't bring him to San Francisco. So I'm pretty happy with the pick. But again, he's a good player. He has a lot of traits. No production at Texas A&M. But again, you're banking on what he could be in the future, not what he is now. And you're hoping that with Joe Burrow and T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase out there leading your team, that it may take him.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Some time, but if the defense can maybe hold a team to 35 points, not 45 as like last year, you'll win a couple more games to get you back into the playoffs.
Okay, the Niners have made their pick, of course, 11 overall, Mykael Williams, defensive end out of Georgia. The other NFC West team that has already picked, the Arizona Cardinals, they went with Walter Nolan, D-tackle out of Ole Miss. Now we have a third NFC West team on the clock, and in fact, the pick has just been announced. The Seattle Seahawks, they go interior offensive line, Gray Zabel, a guard out of North Dakota State, a Bison, going to the Pacific Northwest in the Seattle Seahawks. I saw, Sterling, you'll know this, was it Daniel Jeremiah, his latest mock yesterday? Randomly, kind of felt like a name I hadn't seen, mock to the Niners all draft season. He said Gray Zabel was the pick for the Niners at number 11 overall. Ultimately, he stays in the NFC West. He's the pick at 18 overall to the Seattle Seahawks.
That's a really good pick, too, for Seattle. We all watched Sam Darnold last year crumble under the pressure against the NFC North and in the playoffs because the interior offensive line for the Vikings was just so bad. He was running for his life. The pressure gets to him. He throws picks. He fumbles the football. In Seattle, knowing they're committing to him at least for the next 3 or 4 years as their quarterback, the one pick they had to make was get the best guard likely that can also play center in this year's draft. and protect Sam Darnold. Because, again, if the Niners or the Cardinals or the Rams can get inside on the interior and cause some pressure, Sam Darnold kind of becomes a big question mark for them. So it's a pick I think everybody saw coming, and it's a pick they had to make.
Yeah, I actually, this is full circle. So I worked in Fargo during the 2019 season, and this was actually somebody that was being recruited at the time.
Oh, wow.
He's out of Pierre, South Dakota, and it was between South Dakota State and North Dakota State. If you're any good at football in those two states, that's where you're choosing. And so Zabel was someone that, at the time, the head coach, Matt Entz, and Chris Kleiman, who then moved on to Kansas State, was also very interested in. He raved about him. Now, he was a high school prospect, and he's full-blown now with like 6'6", 330, and he was ended up being a four-year starter at NDSU. But it's kind of funny that I remember just hearing about the kid. I never actually saw him on any of his recruits, but all their coaching staff was very hyped about this kid. So it's cool to see someone from a small town in, relatively speaking to a lot of people out here, the middle of nowhere in Pierre, South Dakota, find himself into the first round of the NFL draft.
Yeah, 18th overall to the Seattle Seahawks. On the clock now, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at 19 overall. Then the Denver Broncos, and then a team that a lot of people have had circled in the first round, potentially as movers up, seems unlikely now. But the Pittsburgh Steelers, 21 overall, that might be a landing spot for Shedeur Sanders. They are a very quarterback needy team. Maybe they go Jackson Dart. We will see. But that seems to be a big spot in this draft. But yeah, Gray Zabel to the Seattle Seahawks. Sterling, he played tackle in college, right? But he's projected more as a guard or a center in the NFL.
Yeah, you are correct, Mark. North Dakota State, he's a guy that can really play all five positions for you on the offensive line. So if you wanted to be a center, you wanted to be a guard, you wanted to be a tackle, he can really do it all for you. Last year at North Dakota State, only 7 pressures and 1 sack allowed over the course of 453 passing snaps.
Pretty good.
He's a player that, again, fits that wide zone San Francisco scheme. So going back to your point about Daniel Jeremiah mocking him to San Francisco at 11, although too rich for my liking and obviously San Francisco's liking, he's a good player that I think almost every team running that Shanahan-like offense would like. Now they have a Kubiak in Seattle, so it makes a lot of sense that he's there. So the NFC West has now taken 2 North Dakota State Bison ever since 2021.
Yeah, it does feel like there's probably a lot of Niners fans either listening or watching the draft out that are saying, whew, well, we dodged a bullet, not because they know anything about the kid, but because they see where he went to college and the last prospect, the last Bison that came to the Bay Area.
Yeah, I'm seeing it right now on our YouTube chat, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. Apollo Crews, Trey Lance country. Yeah, that's how we in the Bay Area know North Dakota State, because that's where Trey Lance went.
Los Angeles Charger.
Yeah, he's a Charger now. No longer a Cowboy. Are we surprised at all that we haven't seen a lot of skill positions, a lot of playmakers? Is that just not the strength of this draft? Is there going to be a run on those guys coming up a little bit later on? Because, again, we're now 18 picks in, and 13 of the 18 have been in the trenches, whether on offense or on defense, and the majority have been on defense, especially of late. I know Gray Zabel, offensive lineman, was just picked, but this has been a draft that, other than, you know, Cam Ward, quarterback, Travis Hunter, athlete, corner slash wide receiver, top 2 picks, and then you've got Tet McMillan, wide receiver out of Arizona. You don't have a whole lot of skill positions, a couple of tight ends mixed in there, but this has been, for the most part, just a purely trench draft, and there's still a lot of quality skill positions out there, and we haven't quite seen a run begin on that.
I think it makes some sense. You look at who's on the board currently still at wide receiver, Luther Burden, Matthew Golden. Those are good players that I think are going to go probably late day one, very early on day two. A lot of your teams that maybe need quarterbacks or have young quarterbacks and want to get themselves a receiver, they don't really value the fifth year option. I think you'll see those players go there. But ultimately, a lot of players don't really need skill positions this year. Like, you look around the NFL, no one's dying to get Matthew Golden as a receiver on their offense, whereas the Dallas Cowboys needed to find a guard to replace Zach Martin. So I'm not not shocked. I think it's been, as Evan pointed out to earlier, pretty chalky so far. A lot of the picks have been what we all expected to, minus the Jaguars trading up to number two overall. But I think it's been a pretty basic draft. I wouldn't be shocked here to see Jihad Campbell go to the Buccaneers and pairing with Devontae David. So we'll see if that happens. But again, like Evan was saying, pretty chalky thus far.
Yeah, I was going to ask you guys, do you feel like there's anything so far that stood out to you in, I don't know if a shocking manner is it, but just kind of an eyebrow raiser? I mean, perhaps there's maybe one for me, and that would be New Orleans, but they're an organization that could go in so many different directions just because of how much of a dumpster fire it feels like they've been the last few years.
Yeah, New Orleans went with offensive tackle Kelvin Banks out of Texas. I think, honestly, the surprise for me, maybe these teams are learning from their past mistakes because only one quarterback has gone so far.
They're learning.
Only one quarterback has gone so far, and I'm not a huge fan. I think a lot of us aren't big fans of this quarterback class to this point, and I'm glad we haven't seen a lot of these teams who are quarterback needy just pick the best quarterback out of a crop of maybe not so great quarterbacks. We can talk a little bit more about that on the other side. Sterling, I'll let you weigh in with your maybe surprise so far of the first round. Maybe your surprise of the first round is the pick that just came in.
Yeah.
Tampa Bay, 19 overall, goes Emeka Ebuka, wide receiver out of Ohio State. Okay, so another wide receiver. There's a skill position. We'll let Sterling and Evan react to that. We got a whole lot more coming. It's draft night here on 95.7 The Game. We are 19 picks in. We're with you until 10 o'clock, no matter how long this first round lasts. So stick with us. It's 95.7 The Game's coverage of the NFL draft, the first round, right here on 95.7 The Game.
A strong
Kel Williams, defensive end, edge rusher out of Georgia, is the latest San Francisco 49er. The Niners' 11 total picks in this year's NFL draft entering the day. We are still sitting at 11 picks, which means they have 10 more picks to make. We'll see if they make any other moves in this first round. They have no picks left in the first round, but Mykel Williams is the pick for the 49ers, defensive end, edge rusher out of Georgia at 11 overall. Just before we went to break, we did get the pick for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Wide receiver Emeka Ebuka out of Ohio State. Sterling, your reaction to that pick warrants some time spent on it. What strikes you about that pick by the Bucs?
Well, it's so shocking because we've seen so many players fall to teams like Tyler Warren to the Colts, where you say, yep, that makes the most sense. It's a need. He's a great player. And I'm looking at Jihad Campbell, who Levante David's getting older. Devin White is no longer there. Todd Bowles loves himself some attacking linebackers, and Jihad Campbell is that. And for them to bring back Chris Godwin and still have Mike Evans and then go get a receiver in the slot, not to say it's a bad pick because it's not, he's a great player, but I guess you could think the need and the positional value of a linebacker, the best off-ball linebacker in this year's draft, at pick, what was it, 19, the Buccaneers, I think, is a better pick overall. But again, teams are going to zig when others zag. So again, it's a great player, great pick, but ultimately rather questionable for me, at least, out here in San Francisco.
Yeah, I was telling Grant here in studio, it reminds me a little bit of what in-division rival Seattle did a couple of years ago when they drafted Jackson Smith and Jigba, where they had a couple of really good, and one was, you know, kind of a face of the franchise at some point, Tyler Lockett, and then DK Metcalf, and they still took a young, very talented wide receiver, ironically out of the same school, but that was because they saw the end for Tyler Lockett, and eventually now Smith and Jigba. You could argue, well, obviously they traded DK Metcalf, but even at points this year, looked like their best wide receiver. So, you know, I'm not necessarily in, I'm not in awe of the pick. Maybe it means that they don't feel like Chris Godwin, who obviously suffered a pretty big knee injury, is not someone that's going to be up to par next season and has 1 year left on his deal, and so they drafted essentially his replacement. They clearly have bigger needs, but that team has been geared by their offense. They got a dual running back monster, pair of running backs in the backfield, and Baker Mayfield's a guy. So I don't hate the pick, but it's probably the one that, again, we were talking about the chalk that we've seen in this first round. It's maybe the least chalky pick so far.
Well, it's funny, too, because they just let their OC go to Jacksonville, although maybe it wasn't because they wanted to, trying to bring him back and let Todd Bowles leave out the door the other way.
But, oh, my God.
But then they go offense in the exact same year their OC leaves. So not to say it's questionable, but just more of a puzzling pick. You'd think Todd Bowles would say, no, we're going defense here. I'm back in control of the draft room, but not the case for the Buccaneers.
Yeah. Okay, so we have pick number 20 to the Denver Broncos. Jahdae Barron, cornerback out of Texas, is the pick, which means that clears the way, potentially, for Shedeur Sanders to the Steelers at number 21 overall. We'll see if that's the direction that the Steelers go. But a cornerback, Barron, out of Texas, is the pick. What's so funny?
I think they're going to take him.
Shedeur?
Yeah.
Oh, man. You don't think it's Rodgers? It's not Aaron Rodgers' time in Pittsburgh?
What I'm counting on is them having both of them on their roster this season, which would make them quite suddenly the most interesting and potentially toxic quarterback room in all of football.
Mike Tomlin invites that stuff, though. Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown. He doesn't mind a sideshow if it means winning some football games, but Shedeur at 21, is it really a need for the Pittsburgh Steelers here?
I mean, they need a quarterback. I just don't know if they need Shedeur Sanders.
That's right.
Yeah, we'll see. The Jackson Dart.
I mean, if you're bringing in Rodgers for a year, wouldn't you want Shedeur to play immediately for you, though?
Maybe. We're about to find out because Roger Goodell is at the podium. They have the ability to go quarterback. There's only been one quarterback so far through the first 20 picks. And they do not go quarterback. They do not go Shedeur Sanders. They go Derek Harmon, defensive tackle out of the University of Oregon.
That's a good pick.
Yeah, I mean, I'm an Oregon fan. I watched Derek Harmon every single snap he took this year. Hell of
go
a
Ducks,
player.
Brother.
Hell of a player in the interior of the defensive line. I mean, this is a Steelers pick, right? They have a lot of needs, and what do? They just continue to add to that defensive line. They haven't had a quarterback in forever, and even at the tail end of Big Ben's tenure, he was one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL, yet they still find a way to win 8 or 9 games at least every single season, and a big reason is because they have one of the best defensive lines in the NFL.
I was kind of hoping he'd fall one more pick.
You wanted them to your Chargers, huh?
Yes, I did.
But Derek Harmon, Sterling, I mean, in the interior of that Steelers defensive line, pretty good pick.
Oh, it's a great pick, and you have to wonder, you know, you have Casey Hayward who's getting up there in age. Is he the replacement? But you got about 5 or 6 guys, T.J. Watt, Alex Hightower. Pittsburgh Steelers know what fits them. They know which players they like, and they're unafraid to, again, go against the grain if it means not filling a need for them. And Mike Tomlin just says, hey, we know how to win football games, quarterback or not, and that's through our defense. So not shocked whatsoever that Mike Tomlin says, hey, let's get T.J. Watt more help on the defensive line here.
Yeah, I think we've seen a lot of teams sort of lean into, or I don't know if it's get back to basics, but you know, a team like the Indianapolis Colts that has been looking for a tight end for what feels like forever gets their guy. And Tyler Warren, the Pittsburgh Steelers are a team that has not taken a quarterback very high, and they just simply don't really invest much capital in that position, and they try and win other ways. That's what they do there. The San Francisco 49ers are a team that, when they've been successful, has been through the defensive line, and of course they get Mikal Williams. I mean, just looking around at kind of the rest of this group, like, I think a lot of teams haven't overthought these picks so far. Even up in the top 5, Will Campbell, you need a blindside blocker on the left side. Go get the best one out there. Mason Graham, I mean, to the Cleveland Browns, give Myles Garrett a little bit of extra help, and you're going to really have a formidable front. The New York Giants are now looking at a defensive line that is fearsome, despite the rest of their team being pretty bare bones. So I think a lot of teams that I've seen so far have just sort of leaned into what's made them successful in the past.
Yeah, yeah. Let me play something for you guys. I don't know if you guys heard this, but Peter Schrager, of course, covers the NFL, previously NFL Network, was poached and over at ESPN, was on the Bill Simmons podcast this week leading up to the NFL draft, and he had this to say when asked about, like, throw out a couple of teams that might make a pick of Shedeur Sanders that maybe no one is talking about. Here's Peter Schrager again on the Bill Simmons podcast.
Not at 11, but you're telling me Shador's still on the board at 30, 31, 32, and we've got Brock Purdy talking about where he wants and what he wants. The San Francisco, you know, pull the plug and just say, screw it, we'll take 2 young quarterbacks. We'll see. We'll still sign for maybe. You know,
so not at 11, but maybe no. A trade back.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So Shedeur Sanders still on the clock. You're getting into the 20s, maybe early second round. Niners going to trade back in. Huh? What do we think?
You take it, Sterling.
You're going to make me sick if that happens. No way. I mean, look, Shador's going to be a fine quarterback at the NFL level. Some even say his pro comp is that of Brock Purdy. And if Brock Purdy is going to get you paid around $53, $55 million a year, who's been to a Super Bowl, you're banking on Deion Sanders coming back to the Bay for 1 year, whatever it may be. Like, Shador is not the answer for a team wanting to win now. He's a quarterback you bring in and you hope can become something in the few years while he plays in the immediate. But if San Francisco drafts a quarterback anywhere in the first five rounds, me and John Lynch are going to duke it up somewhere in Santa Clara one day, because my goodness, man, don't do this to the fan base, please. I can't go through the quarterback controversy one more time in my lifetime.
I wouldn't dismiss the idea of a quarterback being taken in the top five rounds. Like, teams that even have their guy will still, I don't know, go and get someone if they feel like there's value there, but it can't be Shedeur Sanders. It just can't. That to me is
Mac Jones, baby.
It's too much baggage. Yeah, which is evident that Brock Purdy's his job is safe. Is all that I took away from that. But I just feel like someone like Shedeur Sanders invites eyes, it invites headlines, it invites everything that the 49ers, at least under Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch, disapprove of and do not enjoy being a part of. So whether he's going to turn into a fine prospect or not, I personally don't think he's that great. I also don't think that someone who pushes blame from themselves onto others, which he's done multiple times in college, and I like his father. I think Deion Sanders is a fine head coach and has done a really good job there, but his son to me is not the answer to quarterback for an organization that is looking to win long term. And obviously the Niners, I think, have already made their choice. So I think Peter Schrager is reaching a little bit. We'll give him one personal foul. He's got five more to play with. But I hope that does not happen.
Yeah. No, I'm with you guys. I don't think it's going to happen. I just had to throw it out there because I was listening the other day. It caught my attention. And you know,
got everybody's attention.
I gotta stir the pot just a little bit. I gotta keep everyone on their toes.
Well, if there is something, I don't know, incendiary that the Niners could do at this point, they've already made their pick. They didn't trade back. They didn't trade up. Where do you guys think that could be?
Mm. What do you think, Sterling?
Where they could trade up,
or just any surprise move?
So, something that they would do that they could do that would shock you or say, "Wow."
Well, they could draft a kicker again, I guess. But, you know, it's funny because going through the draft process, you know, watching the prospects, kind of seeing how things have played out here, it doesn't feel like San Francisco really has that big move in them, unless they want to trade up to with the Vikings at 24. Maybe they don't have many picks this year, getting get that tackle or get a defensive lineman as well. But no one's really fallen down deep. Maybe. I think if San Francisco makes a trade, there's a big gap in between pick 43 tomorrow and pick 75. And then you get into, they have pick 160 and they have pick 227. So there's a big gap. I think San Francisco, who overwhelmingly makes their hay on day three, later on day two, George Kittle, Dre Greenlaw. I know it is exciting for a conversation tonight, but when you look at a realistic way they can go with things, I think there's a real chance that they don't even pick once in the seventh round, because they use those picks to move up somewhere in round five or four.
Yeah, and just to read off the picks the Niners have, of course, they made their pick 11th overall earlier tonight. Mykal Williams, edge rusher out of Georgia, the 11th overall selection, Niners' first pick in this draft. They have the 11th pick in the second round, which is 43rd overall. That's their only second-round pick currently. They have two picks in the third, the 75th overall pick, which was their own pick. They also got a special compensatory pick, the 100th overall pick tacked on to the end of the third round. They have two fourth-round picks, their own, and another compensatory pick. They have two fifth-round picks acquired via two separate trades, one with Washington, one with Minnesota. And then in the seventh round, they have three picks, their own, early in the seventh round, and then a couple of compensatory picks near the very, very, very end of this draft. So that is the 11 total draft picks the Niners have, and certainly I think you make a good point. Not that I don't expect to see a trade, but if we see a trade for the Niners, it would likely be involving some of those later picks, maybe to give them a pick, another pick in the fifth, or maybe a pick in the sixth, instead of having three picks in the seventh round so they can move up just a little bit. But I'm with you. I don't think we're going to see them trade back up to the end of the first round, see them trade for a pick in the second round, because you're right. They have been able to make their hay late in draft. You don't want to have to continue to rely on that. You hope that you hit on all these picks early in drafts. But for a team, and this is something you guys laid out early, and I think you're spot on, for a team that has so many holes, you kind of want to keep the number of picks that you have as high as possible, because you want the best shot at hitting and filling all of these spots. And if you have 11 picks, you just find five guys that give you solid production as rookies, the team is going to look entirely different next year. So, yeah, I'm with you, Sterling. I think you make a good point that we're probably going to see this team make a move at some point, but it might not be one that we're going to be talking about tonight, because I don't think it's going to happen at the end of the first round.
No, and look, I mean, we are moving into that range of potential. Again, if they had 23 first-round grades, which was the report from, I think, Matt Barrows of The Athletic, then we're at 22 right now. So depending on who is there, who is off the board for the Niners, you know, we might see something. And I think if we do, which I think all three of us doubt at this point, it would be in a couple of picks. But, well, Johnson remains on the board. They do need a secondary cornerback opposite D'Amador Lenore. James Peirce Jr. is someone that I've seen mocked at potential drafts. Josh Simmons guy, of course, Sterling mentioned him earlier, is someone that still remains on the board. So, and I think the Niners are a team that is best served standing pat and basically just using everything that's been given to them. They have an advantage by having four comp picks in this draft, and to me, you have an opportunity to clean up a lot of the messes that you've created over the last few years by giving out poor contracts, inflated contracts, and now get some younger, cheaper guys in the building.
I think it's a good point because, yes, you want to get younger and cheaper, but also the ammunition San Francisco has to maneuver up and down the draft board on day two, on day three. I think they can pinpoint a run defender on the interior. They can pinpoint a pass rusher on the interior. You have guys like C.J. West, Jamari Caldwell, Vernon Broughton, guys whose names you're going to hear the next couple of days over the weekend. I think San Francisco, funny enough, despite having so many holes, can almost be aggressive in finding the prospect they like, targeting them in whatever round they want to pick them in, and being aggressive to go up and get that said player. So you may see San Francisco walk away with eight picks this weekend, but if it's the guy they love, they do have the picks to go up there and move up and acquire said player.
Yeah. Latest pick is in 22nd overall in the first round. The Los Angeles Chargers, Jim Harbaugh's Los Angeles Chargers, select Omarion Hampton, running back out of North Carolina, second running back off the board, of course, after Ashton Jeanty, running back from Boise State. He went to the Raiders, sixth overall. So the top two running backs off the board are from the AFC West. Raiders take Jeanty, Chargers take Omarion Hampton. We have our resident Charger fan, Evan Giddings, with us here in studio right now, of course. Evan, Hampton, UNC, running back to the Chargers, your thoughts?
Well, I don't like being associated with the Raiders, which you just put us in the same group.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Yeah, but I do think it's a very Harbaugh pick. I mean, you've acquired a bit of a bruiser back with Najee, and now you get a little bit more of a true number one, someone who can tote the rock on three downs, can catch it out of the backfield. You know, I think anytime there's a first-round pick used on a running back, there's a lot of eyebrows raised around the NFL, but yeah. Jim Harbaugh is an old-school coach, and one of the reasons why he took the job in the first place is because he has all the power. He is the czar, and so it doesn't necessarily shock me that that's the pick, especially after last year they go out and get their twin tackle in Joe Alt. So I don't mind it. In 2025, I think it's a little strange, but I don't know, as a lot of 49ers fans know, and I came to quickly understand this season, you just trust Jim Harbaugh,
yep,
and generally good things are going to happen.
It's true, too. You also have to think, you know, Colson Loveland, tight ends off the board. Kenneth Grant, you can replace Puna Ford with him. He's off the board. Maybe you want to replace Joey Bosa and get James Pierce Jr., but he has some red flags on his record. So getting what is heralded as the second best running back in a Greg Roman, Jim Harbaugh offense is never a bad thing. At UNC, he had over 1,600 yards, Nearly 1,300 of those were after contact. So you're getting a pretty feisty running back next to Najee Harris. 69 forced missed tackles, 15 touchdowns, and 4.3 yards after contact. If you want a pro comp for him, Evan, there's been some talks of him being a prime David Johnson. So not the post-injury guy, but a pretty good running back in his heyday with the Cardinals.
Like that when you say prime...
That guy was so damn good for like 2 years.
I was going to say, when you say prime David Johnson, you mean that 1 year when he was just elite. Hey,
man, he got the Cardinals DeAndre Hopkins is all I'm saying. So something was going right for them out there in the desert.
He did. The Green Bay Packers are on the clock, and it's cool because this draft is being hosted by Lambeau Field, essentially, in Green Bay. So we'll see where the Packers go with. We'll hit a break here in just a couple of minutes, but hopefully we'll get that pick in before we hit the break. We're 22 picks in. Niners made their pick at 11 overall. Mykael Williams, the defensive end out of Georgia. We've seen a lot of attention to the trenches, although of late we've seen teams branch off. Emeka Abuka, wide receiver of Ohio State, goes to Tampa Bay. Denver goes with a corner. Jadae Barron out of Texas, Derek Harmon, the D-tackle, they go back to the trenches. Pittsburgh does at 21 overall. And then most recently, running back out of UNC, Omarion Hampton, to the Los Angeles Chargers. As we near the end of the first round, guys, what should be the plan of attack for the 49ers going forward? You addressed one major need at edge rusher. You probably are going to pick another one, I would imagine, before this draft wraps up this weekend. But there's still a lot of holes elsewhere. I know Evan mentioned cornerback, and I wouldn't be shocked if we see them draft one maybe a little bit later on in the draft. They're definitely going to need a defensive tackle. Dre Greenlaw left. Are you going to draft a linebacker to pair potentially alongside Fred Warner? Where do you think the Niners should go next whenever they make their next pick, even if it is just their next scheduled pick with the 43rd overall pick in the second round? What should their plan of attack be?
I think San Francisco, while yes, they filled the need at edge rusher, shouldn't be afraid to take two. However, I think they need to fill an offensive lineman position. I know Niner fans are going to say, protect Brock Purdy. You're going to pay him a lot of money. Make sure he's upright for, you know, 17-plus games next season and hopefully a playoff run if everything goes well. Charles Grant from William & Mary makes some sense. Jonas Savaneh from Arizona can make some sense in round two as a guard-tackle hybrid. Colton McKivitz on a one-year deal. Trent Williams is nearing the age of 37, 38, so you want to get a replacement for one of those guys hopefully in this year's draft. And also defensive tackle. You got the edge guy. You got nobody playing on the interior. So I think on day two, maybe on day one, if things get crazy in the next few picks or so, you'll see more trench warfare being attacked for San Francisco.
Yeah, I think for me, and we've got to hit a break here in a sec. Yeah, I mean, quickly for me, I think it is. It does still lie in the trenches. I know that, you know, to Sterling's point, to piggyback a little bit, you know, they had an edge rusher to fill, but they have two other spots on the defensive line that they need starting caliber players for. So, for me, if they doubled up and took another D lineman, that would not piss me off whatsoever. In fact, I would be pretty excited about that. The offensive line is one that they've always kind of, I know that they haven't invested a ton of capital in, but they've found ways to get by despite not acquiring a second or third round pick outside of course, Aaron Banks and then last year with Pooney. I trust them to figure out that position. So to me, where the talent lies in this draft is on the defensive line. That's kind of where I'd double up.
Yeah, I'm with you. I got thoughts. We got to talk about the offensive line. There's some disconnect between the way the Niners and Shanahan feel about it and the way that everybody else does. We can get into that. Plus, I did want to pass this along. I know this is our NFL draft show, draft night on the game. We do have a Jimmy Butler update, though, courtesy of Shams Charania. Jimmy Butler has been diagnosed with a deep glute muscle contusion, and his status for Game 3 against the Houston Rockets is in, quote, serious jeopardy. This, though, is the best case because the MRI showed Butler avoided any fracture or structural damage. It is a deep glute muscle contusion, and Game 3 status for Jimmy Butler is in serious jeopardy. That courtesy of Shams Charania. Back to the NFL draft and the Niners offseason when we return. It's draft night on the game. Evan Gidding, Sterling Bennett. I'm Mark Randy. Back with more next on 95.7 The Game. With the 11th overall pick in the 2025 NFL draft, I mean, nobody on the NFL panel is going to talk bad about an 11th overall pick, but Rave reviews across the board. We also heard from Brian Baldinger, NFL Network, who sang a similar tune. We heard from Mel Kiper. We're going to hear a little bit later on from Booger McFarland as well. And all saying the things that we've said. This was the pick that the Niners had to make. They are extremely, extremely thin across the entire defensive line, but especially at the edge rusher position opposite Nick Bosa. They address that with this pick here today. We'll see what they do for the rest of the NFL draft. They have 10 more picks left as it currently stands. We did get one more pick in as we were at commercial break. The Green Bay Packers picking 23rd overall in the first round. They are hosting this NFL draft, by the way. It is live just outside of Lambeau Field. Matthew Golden, wide receiver out of Texas, goes to the Green Bay Packers. One of the fastest dudes in the draft, a 4.29 40-yard dash. And by the way, the Packers have a plethora of young wide receivers, but this is the first time the Packers have used a first-round pick on a wide receiver since 2002. Matthew Golden is the pick for the Green Bay Packers.
And quite frankly, they had to. Christian Watson has a torn ACL. He may not come back for, you know, until November, December. You never know. Then you have Romeo Doubs, who had about 4 concussions last year alone. So, honestly, I know I don't want to say this, but good on Green Bay. It was the right pick. It was a smart pick. And I think shocking enough to them, they get this, the third best receiver in this year's class, depending on how you view Travis Hunter at the NFL level.
Yeah, but Aaron Rodgers is not too happy. That was something that he basically asked for. It felt like every single year the last couple of seasons while he still threw up MVP numbers. Also looks like we have a trade at this point.
Do we?
Yes, the Giants are trading back up into the first round with the LA Rams at 26.
The LA Rams. Wow. Okay.
So the Rams are moving back, and this was at least something that I read was a possibility for a lot of teams. Or pardon me, Houston is trading with the Giants. Sorry, misread the...
At 25.
That's
okay.
Right. There's a new version of Ian Rapoport's tweet. The Giants
get
are now
right,
on the clock.
Rap sheet.
Sorry about that. Damn. Houston trading with the Giants at 26. But it did feel like a possibility that a lot of these teams that... You know, I'm assuming if, for example, the 49ers have 23 first-round grades, a lot of other teams have a number similar. And so we're at the point where, all right, maybe a guy you like isn't on the board. Try and move back into the second round and try and potentially poach a team or a couple picks from a team that have a guy ranked a little bit higher than you do. And obviously the Giants felt that way. I'm curious to see who they trade up to get. But my guess is that a team like Houston probably felt like everybody they really wanted that they felt like could impact their team was just off the board, so they make a move.
Really quick, Sterling, I'll let you weigh in. The full details from this trade, the Giants, again, have traded with the Texans. The Giants are now picking 25th overall. Let's see. So the Giants traded the 34th pick coming up very early in the second round tomorrow, a third-round pick, and a future sixth-round pick to the Texans, all for that 25th overall pick. So they give up their pick early in the second. They give up a couple of other picks to move up to 25. Houston has been a team that has been very busy because they made a trade earlier in the day. I think a lot of people out there in the draft world thought that that might mean they were gaining resources to make a trade further up into the first round. Now they trade out of the second round entirely, and they're just adding to their stockpile of draft picks. Maybe they are keen on bringing in a very, very big rookie class. Or maybe they're going to make a trade up into the second round a little bit later on, maybe the third round as well. We shall see. But Sterling, the Houston Texans have been one of the more busy teams today, despite not making a single pick yet.
Well, the Texans and Niners, although in different situations when in terms of contending in the divisions, they have a lot of holes too, right? They want to gut their entire offensive line. They have to get a receiver. Stephon Diggs is gone. Tank Dell has a knee injury. Who knows when he'll come back next season. And they also traded away Laremy Tunsil. And so they got to get a left tackle. They had to get a left guard. They have to find a receiver. So the Texans are almost hoarding picks on day two, where you may see them pick 4 or 5 times and say, the Texans have reloaded their roster. So not a shock there, not surprised there. They have a young quarterback, they have a good head coach, got rid of their OC, Bobby Slowick, this past offseason, so they're making some changes, they're retooling, and the Texans are being aggressive, trying to give C.J. Stroud everything he needs to succeed next season. So it makes sense, the Giants are going to capitalize here and get a quarterback. The only question is it Shedeur Sanders? Is it Jackson Dart, or is there a, no pun intended, dart throw somewhere else on the draft board?
Yeah, really quick. The pick that right before that Giants pick, which we're currently waiting for, Minnesota Vikings went offensive line. Guard Donovan Jackson out of Ohio State is the pick to the Minnesota Vikings. They're going to look to protect their new franchise quarterback, who was a rookie, of course, last year and did not play. So Donovan Jackson, guard out of Ohio State, is the pick for Minnesota. Now it's setting up for the Giants, who just traded back up with Houston.
Yeah, when a team like Houston has gotten a little bit greedy the past couple of years. They had two top three picks in the C.J. Stroud draft, relieved them of a first-round pick last year. So, you know, they're probably trying to just replenish their pool. And I always find it interesting, like, trying to figure out which team is going to get aggressive. You would assume that it'd be a team like the 49ers because they have a lot of picks. But philosophically, it feels like they're a team that if they're going to use those picks, it's for a particular proven talent, or at least has been lately. Mid-season drafts, mid-season trades, obviously, Christian McCaffrey being the biggest name, but even, you know, Amenihu, on the defensive line as of late. And they're a team that I think when they identify a player they want, a proven talent in the NFL, that's when they use their capital to pounce. In the draft, I'm not sure it's a crapshoot. And so at this point, I think they're wise to kind of just hoard and keep their picks.
Well, it seems like every time San Francisco makes a draft day trade, it's for that third round running back. And I really wouldn't be shocked knowing that Jordan Mason got traded to Minnesota. So you look on, you know, late day two, round three, San Francisco's looking at, hey, we have pick 113 and pick 127, I believe it is. And, you know, you start saying, hey, you know, we can get inside the 100 range or closer to the, you know, 105 range, get our running back there. There's names like DJ Giddens, Breshard Smith, plenty of guys, Ollie Gordon II from Oklahoma State, who was hurt last year, that Shanahan may say, hey, if I get one pick in this year's draft because we have so many defensive holes, I'm going to get my running back on day two in round three. So it's a selective aggressiveness from San Francisco, and it's paid off at times. Chris McCaffrey, Trent Williams being two of the bigger moves they've made, but draft day's been a little more hit or miss for San Francisco when it comes to trade Joe Williams, Trey Lance, C.J. Beathard, Trey Sermon, and it gets you a little worried as to what they may do.
We do have another trade. We don't yet know the Giants picked just yet. It has not been announced. We'll let you know the second that we get it. We're feeling like it might be a quarterback. We will see exactly who it's going to be. They just showed Shedeur Sanders. Now they're showing Jackson Dart on the TV screen. We're going to get the announcement coming up here in just a little bit. But right after the Giants pick, the Rams have traded their 26th overall pick. I know you were talking about Rappaport reporting that the Rams traded it, but it really was Houston that traded it. Now the Falcons have traded with the Rams, and the Falcons are picking 26th overall. So we're going to have to wait to see what the Rams do in this NFL draft. The other three NFC West teams have already made picks. The Niners picked Mykael Williams, edge rusher out of Georgia. The Cardinals selected Walter Nolan, defensive tackle out of Ole Miss. And the Seahawks picked Gray Zabel, offensive lineman, interior, likely offensive lineman out of North Dakota State. And the Rams have now traded back out of the first round with the Falcons. But the pick for the Giants after 25, after they traded with the Texans back into the first round, it is a quarterback. But it is not Shedeur Sanders. It is Jackson Dart, quarterback out of Ole Miss. We waited all the ways from pick number 1 to pick number 25 to get the second quarterback off the board, and it is not Shedeur. Jackson Dart is the quarterback pick for the New York Giants, 25th overall.
I think it's the right choice. Sorry, Sterling.
No, I think you're right. I think you put Shedeur Sanders in New York, he's that third best quarterback in that room currently, and is a distraction. He's behind Russ, he's behind Jameis. You have a regime that wants to save their job, and I think they view this as Jackson Dart can sit behind Russ for a year, and maybe you have him be the inverse of the Justin Fields experiment last year in Pittsburgh, where Russ starts out, wins you a couple games, surprises some teams, then falls apart. Dart comes in, takes over his job, and you save your job if you are the regime out there in New York. So I'm not surprised. Shedeur, to me, never screamed first-round talent or first-round pick. So day one has been as I foresaw when it comes to quarterbacks.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a classic example of where the name's not as big as the game. Or the name is bigger than the game, I should say. It says he was not a player that I felt like